This service is provided by freeconferencing.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound. This menu will repeat. Thank you. Access code accepted. This conference is now being recorded. Muted.
But we appreciate everyone joining us tonight on Monday night with Roger Drummer. We're talking about food additives and life force. And I know most of you have been listening to these calls over several weeks, and I'm sure you're getting to understand how simple it is to really stay healthy. And it's the simple little things that you need to learn about on a daily basis that Roger explains in a way that you can easily understand it. And when you understand it simply like that, it prompts you to make better choices and conscious decisions about what you actually put into your body. So what I'd like to do is turn it over to you, Roger. I know you got a lot to talk about tonight. And you're going to talk about a little bit about setting the intentions of changing your relationship to food. And you and I had a conversation about intentions as well. It does make a big difference. And you're the one that actually has to make the difference. Somebody can't do it for you. You have to actually do it yourself. So I'm going to turn this call over to you, Roger. Take it away.
All right. Well, thanks. You know, I got inspired to do this call because I've talked to so many people lately about food and dieting and different things like that. And it's easy to get caught up in hype when you read about all these articles on health and the evil things that are in all your food and all that stuff. But the reality is that you can end up feeling really hopeless and not know where to start to change everything in your diet and in your, particular when it comes to nutrition. And there's just a couple of little simple things that if you just got those down, you could start on a completely different program to move toward health quite easily. They're not that difficult to do if you set the intention to actually do it. The reason that most people have a problem with it is that they never fully intend to actually do what they're attempting to do anyway. They always think they're going to try to do this and try to do that. The reality is you should just do it. And I know that might sound hard to people, but, you know, I'm not talking about something I haven't ever done myself. As you all know, if you've been on my calls, at one time I lost 125 pounds. So I know what it's like to deny myself food and actually go through the some of the suffering that has to go along with dieting. And it's not that big a deal, really. Most of the problems with dieting happens in the first couple of weeks. After that, it's not that hard, in my opinion, to stick to it if you really have the intention to do it in the first place. If you don't have the intention to do it, then everything is so hard at every step of the way because you're never really actually committed to doing something. You know, and sugar, which is part of our whole talk tonight, sweeteners and food additives, are two of the biggest steps you can take right away to change the way or change your relationship to food, maybe lose that weight you want to lose, but also really make an impact on your health and start a progression of moving upward in your level of vitality and the amount of different aspects of your health that are all moving toward a much better state of constant health. And in that state of constant health, more energy, more vitality, that can actually be tested in almost any lab test if you do these very simple things. And that is why I kind of put this call around sugar and sweeteners and food additives, because those are some of the worst things that you can have in your diet. But if you don't understand what sugar is actually doing to you, and by sugar I just mean too much table sugar, whether it's sucrose, glucose, fructose, high fructose corn syrup, all of it in general is not that great for you. Some of them are worse than others, but the reality is if you limited all your sugars to less than 25 grams of sugar a day, it really wouldn't make that much difference if you're drinking high fructose corn syrup to get your 100 calories or if you're drinking sucrose. And why is that? Because 100 calories is a very small amount of sugar. The average person is consuming somewhere between 500 and 1,200 calories a day from sugar. Now, that person's just snowballing their way to an early death and really poor health. But the reality is that if you get yourself around to where you don't crave sweets anymore anyway, and they don't become a huge part of your life, then having a little bit of any of those is not a problem. The reason that high fructose corn syrup has been singled out lately, is that it is the cheapest one. It probably has the most toxic chemicals attached to it because of the processing of it. It probably comes from GMO-grown crops, which is not a good thing to have in your system. And it's so cheap that they can put tons of it in food products, and you consume it so quickly in a lot of juices and different things that it's easy to move into that state of becoming gaining weight and then becoming obese from using it. That's really why it's the worst thing. But they all mess up your metabolism in some way. Again, because we have this tendency in this country to love the taste of sweet. And I have the experience of living with someone that grew up in Europe, and their whole relationship to sweet taste is completely different from ours. And what you would think of as something that would be, to us, is not even sweet, is overly sweet to them. It's just not a flavor they built into everything. And only in America do we have this overcompensation of every food product just making it sickeningly sweet. And so the reality is that if you can get away from that one taste sensation, and I'll give you a few tips on that tonight, then you can make a radical change in every level of your health, because right now they're associating too much sugar. And what goes along with that is that too much sugar in your bloodstream, high insulin levels, that's really associated with all the major causes of death right now. It's implicated in cancer, obesity, heart disease, high blood pressure, everything. Diabetes, everything has a component where it really just starts with too much sugar in your system. And that whole thing we hear about now called metabolic syndrome or syndrome X, what they're talking about is the fact that you're in a state of health because, again, too much sugar consumption. You're in a state of health to where you don't have any of those diseases I just mentioned, but you're right on the cusp of getting either one of them or all of them at the same time. It just depends on where your inherent weakness lies, because everybody has an inherent weakness, meaning that there's some part of their system that's a little less efficient than another part. And that is because not only of genetics, but mainly your diet. And so you're all on the cusp of having something happen, and it all goes back to sugar. So how do you remove that? And you can remove this quite quickly. You'd be shocked at how healthy you could become in 3 months of just not eating sugar. Because once you do that, then you eliminate the foods that mostly come with sugar, which is a second class of foods that you really want to avoid anyway, which is just highly processed foods and mostly highly processed baked goods or foods that contain a lot of flour. That's usually white flour that turns into sugar instantly when you eat it anyway. And so once you get rid of the sugar thing, you get rid of most of that other class of foods too, because you can no longer have it. And again, that all comes back to regulating your diet, but making an intention, setting the intention to stop ruining your health by just simple food. And this is part of that intention, is just setting the intention that you're going to eat as well as you possibly can to feel as good as you possibly can, because again, that's how you're going to be able to react to life in a completely different way. It's going to change your levels of stress. It's going to change your habits. It's going to clear up your thinking. It's going to have so many different effects on every aspect of your health that it's one of the biggest life-changing things that you could ever do. And again, it depends not only on setting intention, it's a big part of it, but along with that, you're going to learn some simple tips, which I'm going to get into right now, that'll tell you and show you easy ways to start to avoid it, and then the reasons why or what that little bit of sugar triggers off in your system. And this happens every single time you eat it. And it's real easy once you know that, how your body can become so imbalanced over such a short period of time and why it just becomes accumulative in your system every single time you eat this food every day. Now, I was highly addicted to sugar point of my life. I mean, I wouldn't have been obese if I wasn't eating a lot of sugar. And the reality is that I even had trouble with avoiding sugar when I lost all my weight. I still was kind of addicted to always going to bakeries and getting these sweet foods. And even though they were made with natural sugars, they wicked me out anyway. I got real tired after eating them. My eyes would always get fuzzy, and didn't matter if I was eating whole grains. I was eating something that had sugar in it, even though it was fructose or it came from fruit juice. It was still the same thing. It made me feel really off. And until I licked that, and I did it mainly by, again, at a different phase of my life, I started paying attention to having really good protein for breakfast. And this gradually over time set me up to where I did not crave sugar so much, because eating protein first thing in the morning changes your brain chemistry. Over a period of time, your brain gets what it needs to produce dopamine, and then that controls your cravings for sweet. Dopamine is the neurotransmitter that's responsible for powering up your brain. And so once you do that every morning, you cut down on the amount of sugar you actually crave. And after a period of time, it's really not much of that big of a part of your life. The other big thing that I did a year ago, which I'm amazed at today, is that I was actually able to quit eating wheat. I had a gluten sensitivity. I was slightly allergic to it. And once I quit eating that, boy, I don't have any cravings hardly ever for sugar. I don't think about it. It's not something in any food I would ever actually buy to eat myself. And I think a lot of that cravings for sugar is because when you're allergic to something, and a lot of people, especially people that are overweight or have autoimmune conditions or excessive inflammation, almost all of them are eating something every single day that they're allergic to. And so their body is thrown off, and not only health-wise, but it's really hard to know how anything else makes you feel when you eat it if you're always slightly allergic to something anyway. So you're not always feeling really clear and vibrant. And so, you know, it's really hard to single one thing out in your diet because you're not really balanced to begin with. When I quit eating wheat, I got rid of so much inflammation, and the main thing is that I think it just completely killed my cravings for sweet. Don't even think about it anymore. So you might want to think about that. I honestly think that getting rid of sugar, dairy products, and most grains for people that have autoimmune conditions would practically just eliminate it in their system after a few months, because your body's just overreacting to the amount of inflammatory chemicals that you're putting in it every single day. So back to the sweetener. Why is it so bad for you to eat a little bit of sweetener, and why is fructose even considered worse now than sucrose, which is table sugar? Well, the answer to that is because when you overconsume sugar, one of the things that happens is your body cannot burn it efficiently. And most people aren't exercising enough these days to actually burn any excess sugar up in their system. So what happens then? Your body's in a constant state of pumping out insulin to take that sugar and stuff it into your cells of your body. But to do that, it has to turn it into saturated fat. And so once your cells become stuffed from having too much sugar stuffed into them by insulin, then it stays in your bloodstream. And then that causes inflammation in your arteries. And then the excessive insulin that's still there but is not working anymore causes more inflammation in your arteries. And that inflammation causes spasms in your arteries, which is made worse by the presence of all that insulin, because insulin uses up all the magnesium in your system to make more insulin, and you need magnesium to stop the spasms in your arteries. And you kind of see where I'm going with this. It just keeps going and going and going. I could probably go on for 5 minutes describing the cascade of things that happen in your entire system from that. But to get back to the root thing that's really happening with it, and the worst part of it, in my opinion, is that when you eat too much sugar, the very first part of your body, remember I was talking about insulin resistance, the very first part of your body that becomes insulin resistant is your liver. The cells of your liver store insulin for instant energy, or not insulin, sorry. It stores glucose for instant energy, and so does some of the muscles in your body. But it only stores a small amount, about the amount you could use up in a couple hours of working. So it has to be replenished. But it's also the first part of your body that becomes insulin resistant, meaning it can no longer store any fat, and your liver starts to become over fatty. It starts to have fat form around it. It starts to look like the liver of someone who's a heavy drinker. And this even happens quicker when you're consuming high fructose corn syrup and fructose to an excess amount, because those don't metabolize the same way and they turn to fat much quicker in your system, or cause your liver to become fatty much quicker. And so once your liver starts to become fatty, then it no longer processes nutrients the same. In fact, there's one of the next great health crises in America is supposed to be non-alcoholic fatty liver syndrome. And what that means is your liver looks just like the liver of someone who's a longtime alcoholic. It becomes scarred and it just loses a lot of its function. But you don't drink at all. It's all due to just excess sugars. And you trace that back to drinking too many sweet drinks, eating too many baked goods or other things that have sweetener in it. And then you combine that with all the fast food and the white flours and all these packaged carbohydrates. And your body which is turning into sugar, and your system just gets overloaded. And once your liver gets in that state where it becomes really fatty, it cuts down on your overall energy. It cuts down on its ability to process nutrients, to make blood. It loses its ability to regulate cholesterol, which is one of the biggies, because that directly leads to heart disease. And all that excessive sugar in your system, especially fructose, high fructose corn syrup, and now even fruit, because your liver's messed up, so even the fruit you eat does this. And so now, almost any time you have sugar, it just instantly, your body's just flooded with triglycerides. And that's why someone who you think, well, I'm only drinking a couple of drinks a day, and I'm eating two or three pieces of fruit, but I don't eat that much sugar, but your triglycerides are 500 or 1,000. Why is that? Because your liver's so fatty and it has nowhere to store excess fatty acids anymore, as you know, saturated fat, and you're not exercising, so all this stuff just floats around in your bloodstream. And so even something as good for you as a few pieces of fruit every day could overwhelm your system if you allowed your system to be so imbalanced from long-term consumption of sugar that your liver has lost its ability to process and to burn up things. And so down the road, look at all the things that happens then from just eating too much sugar. Your liver loses its ability to function right. Now your cholesterol goes way up. Your triglycerides go way up. You can no longer process sugar from your bloodstream. So now you've got excessive sugar, triglycerides, excessive cholesterol floating around in your system. And usually in that type of diet, you're not taking in too many good quality foods and vitamins and minerals. And so the cholesterol you do produce becomes rancid easily because you're missing vitamins, you don't have antioxidants in your system, and again, the sugar and excessive insulin are inflammatory substances when they're in your system too long. And then you add that to the fact that now the cholesterol coming back to your liver from your bloodstream that comes gets transported back and it's supposed to be digested and processed by your liver and then made back into LDL and sent back out. Well, the liver's not functioning right, so it doesn't do anything to it. So it just keeps going right back, never really gets processed, and now your cholesterol is off the chart. And the reality is it all starts with sugar. And I mentioned on one of my calls that one of the funniest things I ever read was a research paper came out a month or so ago saying they now just discovered, the first time ever, that sugar, excessive sugar, causes your cholesterol to go up. Which was the reason I say it's funny is because one of the very first books I ever read back in the late 70s was The Sugar Blues, which was written, I think, in the 60s. And it talked about how sugar was the number one cause of having high cholesterol. And so someone just rediscovered that or just never read any books before. The reality is almost every level of your health can benefit, and quite quickly, if you just stop eating the stuff. And it's one of the easier things to do, actually. You have no particular need for sugar of any form in your diet at all. Your body will make as much sugar as it ever needs from eating plain old vegetables and consuming protein. It transforms enough of that into all the sugar your brain ever needs, all the sugar your system ever needs by just regular food that you eat, and you don't need to consume sugar or sweet drinks. And it's basically just a habit you've gotten into, and it goes back again to that breakfast where I talked about how you can, the first thing that you can do to control your cravings for sweets is having a protein food for breakfast, because that kicks your brain into gear, and once your brain kicks into gear, it doesn't signal that you need more sugar to get a false blast of dopamine 2 hours after breakfast. That's what happens when you sit down to toast and coffee with sugar in it. You basically get a false dopamine rush, and it wears off. First thing your brain thinks of is you're looking for sweets. You're looking for cookies in the desk. You're looking for more sweet drinks, all because it gives you that little rush or boost of energy. And you can stop that right away just by going into more protein foods. And you'd be surprised how in a week of time, you can basically start to eliminate your cravings for sugar. And again, if you all remember that breathing technique I taught you a few weeks ago, and if anybody doesn't remember that, it's very simple. It's just sitting down every time you eat and inhaling to the count of six in your nose slowly, holding it to the count of six, and exhaling again slowly to the count of six, and doing that six times to the best of your ability. Just doing that makes you conscious of what you're going to sit down and eat. And what you'll find if you do that, especially if you're at work and eating, have a habit of eating junk food, you'll find that you don't even like the food that you're actually eating, and it tastes much worse because you're paying attention to it now. You're not locked up and stressed. And once you do that, you'll realize that half the sweets you eat, half the cookies and all these things, are just because of some childhood memory you have that's forced you into this. You basically want to feel some sort of pleasure, and you have changed relationship to food from one of eating something that benefits your body to just something of eating out of habit because it makes you feel comforted in some way. And you have to get away from that. I mean, the reality is we're adults now. You have to be able to set your intention at some time in your life that I'm going to eat real food. I'm going to eat food that's good for me, that my body actually uses to run its cellular processes, and all that other junk just goes by the wayside. And, you know, and basically, for me, the best thing was just setting that intention one day that I'm actually going to be healthy. I'm going to change the way I react to food and how my life revolves around food. And you'll find if you start paying attention to this that most of you plan your entire days around meals. And this is one of the worst things back when I used to follow the Fit for Life diet, or I was into the raw food diet. My entire life became about food. What I was going to eat the next time I ate, I'd be thinking and planning my next meal while I was eating the one I was eating. And it just got one day I realized that all I did all day or my entire life was think about food. And so luckily I kind of got off that kick. But the reality is you're the one that goes out and shops. You're the one that stops at restaurants. You're the one that can determine what or set the course for yourself and your entire family, because you're not going to get into junk food. You're not going to eat a lot of sweets and a lot of sugar if you don't bring it into the house. And it's one of those things, again, about setting your intention of what you actually want to do. Now, I've gone over some of the simple things or some of the profound things that happens to you once your body over a long period of time is in that trap of eating sweets every single day. Well, you can quickly turn that around by just one day making a decision to, for a 2 week period of time, let's just say a 2 to 3 week period of time, you make a decision that I'm not going to eat any more sugar. I'm just going to eat vegetables, some appropriate amount of protein, and I'm going to cut out grains for 2 weeks. Now, I'm only saying this as the drastic, really life-changing diet for those of you who are overweight or maybe are pre-diabetic or even diabetic at this point, because all of you have livers that have lost its ability to process most nutrients and fats out of your food and out of your bloodstream, and your liver has probably become insulin resistant. So for all of you people in that regard, this is the perfect thing to do. And I've suggested this to people and had them completely be able to quit or have no requirements for insulin after 3 weeks. And it doesn't matter what level of your diabetes is at. You can kick your whole system into gear by changing this simple thing. For 3 weeks, make a an effort to just say, I'm not going to eat any grains for the next 3 weeks. I'm just going to eat vegetables, stock your house up, all the vegetables you could possibly eat, and proteins, and exercise a little bit. And I don't mean running, going out running 5 miles or having to do an hour on the bike. I'm just talking about taking a walk of a mile or so a day, 20 minutes, stretch it out to 40 minutes, do it every single day. And within that 3 week period of time, you have started a change in your liver that starts to burn up all that stored fat and changes the way your cells actually are accepting insulin and changes your entire system, mainly because you're not putting sugar in it every day, so it has to find that energy source from somewhere, and it gets it from all your stored fat. You're out walking every single day, so the food that you do eat, all that sugar is being burned up and processed. And again, because it's only sugar that your body is making out of vegetables and protein, it's not that high. And again, for that that little bit of extra effort you're putting into going out and walking, your body is releasing this stored fat out into your bloodstream, and it's burning up all these triglycerides you have in your system from so many years of having elevated blood sugar. All that can be taken care of. You can lower your triglycerides 80 to 90% in a month of just changing your diet. That's one of the easiest things to do. Same way with cholesterol and all these different things. And this is why, if you ever notice, I talk a lot about lowering, about dealing with cholesterol and the whole myth of eggs creating, you know, heart problems, but I've never sat and told you a whole bunch of things to go out and buy to lower your cholesterol. And why is that? Is because if you do that, if you find even a nutrient that just lowers your cholesterol right away without changing your diet, you haven't done that great of a thing for your health. But if you change all the inflammation in your diet, from too much sugar and too much insulin all the time and a lack of nutrients and all these different things, and change the way you eat, then it'll just naturally change itself anyway. And it all goes back again to your liver being able to get rid of that stored fat, starting to process sugars and other nutrients differently, and then starting to change the way it filters blood. And all these things just turn into a different cascade. And this is a cascade where you're actually improving your health almost every single day. And it is. You can see an improvement. Even with each healthy meal that you eat, someone can see an improvement in their blood work and how and the health of their system. It changes that quickly. And so you make that change for 3 weeks. If you're someone out there who's got diabetes at the moment, having trouble with your blood sugar in the morning, maybe it's only 110. That still shows a sign that you have a problem with your body's ability to regulate sugar. Do this simple diet for 3 weeks. I guarantee you, just about anybody that does it will lose a minimum of 10 to 15 pounds. It's just inevitable that once you quit eating grains, you'd be surprised, not only because it makes up so many calories in your diet, but because you're probably all slightly allergic to some of it anyway. And once you remove that and your system doesn't have to deal with it every day, boy, the weight just kind of melts off of you. You start to feel good. You're burning energy up like crazy. And you'd be surprised how good you can feel in a matter of weeks. Now, what's the next step once you deal with the sugars and all these other things in your diet? You have to look at all the food chemicals that you're consuming. And this, you know, it's kind of hard in the health world to pick out one thing you say is the most important thing, because then you find the next thing that's so nasty to your health that you wonder why you called the last thing the most important thing. And that would have to be these food chemicals like NutraSweet, MSG, and things you put in your water like fluoride and aluminum and all these different things. And why is it that that's the next thing you have to look at? Let's just say focus now on NutraSweet and MSG. Well, one of the main reasons is that it throws off your metabolism and creates cravings for certain types of food. One of the reasons they use MSG so much is because not only does it make cardboard taste really good, it also creates cravings for food. One of the things that MSG does is that it actually causes your body to secrete more insulin, and so your blood sugar drops quite quickly after eating a meal full of MSG. And what do you crave right after that happens? another meal full of MSG because you've created a taste for foods that have MSG in it. You know that old flavor they now added to all the other things in the cookbook? When you see a category called savory foods, all they're talking about is food with MSG in it. That's all the savory food category really is. And so once you consume a lot of that for a long period of time, then your taste buds become acclimated to MSG. And then the only thing that really satisfies you is something that has MSG in it. So it's a common way to get people addicted to poor quality food products, and then which then causes them to overeat, especially because most of the food that it's in is really low quality. It just starts their health on a downward spiral. Then there's the other biggie with MSG that we haven't even talked about yet, which is brain damage. And this is something that's been written about in years and for years, and people forget all about it, but MSG is one of the most, I think, one of the chemicals that you can implicate in almost every nervous system disorder that's going rampant in this country. If you look at Parkinson's and you look at Alzheimer's and dementia, and all these age-related loss of memory and nervous system diseases, even throw in Lou Gehrig syndrome, ALS, all these things are becoming so much more. They're just occurring at such higher levels across the entire country, and nobody really has a clue as to what it's about. And I'm sorry if you can't look at the fact that what in the common American diet, which is consumed by the ton in this country, has a direct effect on damaging the nervous system in anybody that eats it. Well, there's MSG and aspartame, two things you can easily avoid. Can't say that they're the cause of these things, but in my personal opinion, if you know something damages or destroys the neurons in your brain, then first thing I would think is, I don't want to eat that anymore. I can lower my chances of getting diseases that are caused by a deterioration of neurons in your brain by avoiding the foods that actually cause damage to the neurons in your brain. And MSG is number one, and aspartame is right there with it. It's a tie. And so it's a common thing. They all know that once you consume these foods with either one of that in it, that the neurons in your brain fall over dead from exposure within about a minute and a half. It doesn't take a whole long period of time. In fact, I've seen photos of the neurons in your brain exposed to a small amount of MSG, and they look exactly like the neurons in the brain of somebody with Alzheimer's. They're all shriveled up, and they look kind of like a Christmas tree in February that's brown and sitting out beside the curb in front of your house. So the reality is that all these things cause a direct damage to your nervous system when you take them in. NutraSweet, MSG, they both do it. NutraSweet, you know, they each have their own little things that they do worse than the other one, and NutraSweet messes up your ability to taste other sweets. And it messes up your liver's ability to process sugar again. And it creates this false impression that you can eat whatever you want with it in there, and which then has been implicated in frontal lobe brain cancer. It's been implicated in diabetic retinopathy. It's one of the worst chemicals that has ever been included in the food supply ever. In fact, it's probably worse than MSG from the fact that the people that introduced it into our food supply knew it was bad for you, and they did it anyway. And so MSG, at least that one, came around after World War II, and we didn't really know anything about food additives at the time, and it's been in our food supply for so long that it's kind of hard to remove it. But we're really dumb because we allowed people to put NutraSweet in our food supply in the last 30 years. Oh, the other thing you should all know is that NutraSweet is now going to be hitting the labels with a new name. It's going to be called AminoSweet. So make sure that you write that down, because you don't want to consume anything with AminoSweet in it. It's just a new name because they're obviously getting upset that most people are looking for the word NutraSweet or aspartame at the moment, so they're going to change the name. Now, again, both of these things cause damage right away, but there's some things that MSG does that no one would ever associate with it. You know, we always think of MSG, which is, you know, monosodium glutamate, because we have glutamate receptor sites in our brain that get flooded with it, that's what causes the damage. What happens is the neurons in your brain get exposed to MSG, and they fire so rapidly that they fall over dead from exhaustion. But that's not when the damage actually stops. It's really just the start of all the damage, because once that happens, you have this low level of inflammation in your brain. And then that inflammation causes inflammatory chemicals that move out throughout your brain and cause other cellular damage. Unless you're eating a diet with a high level of antioxidants in it and a good amount of vitamin C, you're not going to be able to put that fire out. That could be going on for days or weeks afterward, and the average person who doesn't consume a diet with any level of nutrients in it. In fact, I always make the joke, it's kind of like the charcoals on your barbecue grill. They seem to be hot 8 hours later. They're just not gone out yet. And that's kind of the whole way I look at a lot of these food chemicals. They cause this little bit of heat or inflammation somewhere that just never seems to go out. They always seem to just be a little hot, especially in someone who doesn't have a diet that is high in enough nutrients that actually performs that function of getting rid of inflammatory chemicals. And so with the average person who's really addicted to sugar and the fast food diet, then MSG and aspartame become almost like gasoline on a fire. They're just feeding that level of inflammation you got all over your system anyway, and there's just nothing there to stop it. Now, the other thing that surprises most people, but people just never put this together with MSG, is that you have glutamate receptor sites all over your body. Especially you have them in your heart, you have them in a lot of your internal organs. And there's a percentage of people who end up eating at a restaurant, not knowing that they consume too much MSG, will start to have heart palpitations and think that they're having a heart attack, or they go end up in the emergency room getting tests for their heart and being let go 2 hours later, thinking that finding out there's nothing really wrong with them, but feeling so off and a little bit worn out afterward, probably because of all the stress. But it could just be due to the fact you have these chemicals, MSG in particular, that cause you to have heart palpitations. And you have glutamate receptor sites in your ovaries. It's all over your system. So you could be having pains and be feeling off from consumption of MSG and not really putting together the fact that it could be a food chemical in your diet, because you're always thinking about MSG giving you brain damage or causing something to go off in your head. You know, that little headache you get after eating Chinese food? It's just a million or so neurons falling over dead. And so nothing to be worried about. But the reality is that this is just one of those things you really have to avoid. So again, I've given you this before. Go to the website truthinlabeling.org and just look at all the different ways that these chemicals are in your diet. They have a great listing for aspartame and MSG. And then make a list, put it on your refrigerator, find out what it is, and start to avoid it. Because this is a great example of how little things that you're not paying attention to cascade into much bigger problems. Let's say you eat a little bit of MSG every day. You know, the average American is said to consume about 30 grams a day, which is just mind-blowing to me. But let's say you eat a little bit every day, and then you're also drinking water. The water you drink has fluoride in it and has aluminum in it, which causes inflammation in your brain also. And then you're having a little MSG and aspartame, and then you're having all these other food additives and colors that are in food. They all cause cellular damage, and they all cause inflammation. And then when you add that to the fact that most people yet still aren't on the organic bandwagon because they think it's too expensive for them to eat, but the reality is that along with all those chemicals, and there's thousands of them in your diet every single day, along with all those chemicals, you're now getting genetically modified food. And see, if you can see my point here, how this all rolls along, that if you don't set the intention to avoid sugar, to avoid aspartame, to avoid MSG, these chemicals that cause so much inflammation and disrupt your metabolism so much, if you don't set your intention to avoid those, then not only will you have a lot of those in your diet, but you're going to get the added bonus of the fact that most of the things they're put into are white flours, white flour products, fast food consumables, baked goods full of sugar, GMO, genetically modified food, all these things that are cheap packaged foods that people don't pay attention to and they buy way too much of it. Just by making the commitment, setting the intention to stop eating sugar and not having aspartame and NutraSweet removes an entire segment of bad food out of your diet completely. Just that one simple thing. You don't have to worry about saying, I'm not going to pick up any just random is baked goods, because you've already decided I'm not eating sugar, I'm not eating all these chemicals, and it's loaded with it. Have you ever seen a loaf of bread that didn't have 20 ingredients in it? I mean, it's mind-blowing. And if you went down the list of every single one of those ingredients, you find out that they all have negative aspects to them as far as your health. Shutting off your thyroid, causing endocrine imbalances. All these different things can happen just from buying a loaf of bread. And I know it almost sounds like overwhelming, but the reality is, it's not. Because it's only overwhelming if you haven't set the intention to eat well and to avoid sugar, aspartame, and MSG. And add another one there, eat organically. Once you make that decision, you've just lopped off 80% of all the food that's out there anyway. You've actually gotten it down to now where I'm just going to eat real food, and there's going to be times when there's no other thing that I can do, and so I will eat some of that food and not feel guilty about it, because that happens to everybody, especially if you travel. But I have control over what I buy in the grocery store. I have control over what I bring home and the restaurants that I stop at and buy food. And by setting that intention of those four things, eating more organic, no sugar, avoiding MSG and aspartame, you've wiped out almost a huge section of the food that really destroys your health and puts you not only in a position of your health being destroyed every day, but changes your brain chemistry to where it's harder for you to make the decisions to set your intention to avoid certain foods. This is one of those catch-22 things. If you're eating aspartame and NutraSweet and a lot of sugar, it's really hard to make decisions when you're out traveling or out at the grocery store, when you're looking at different foods. It's hard to make those decisions because your brain is still clouded by those chemicals. I tell people, when you go on a natural food diet, wait at least 3 to 4 weeks before you give up on it, because it takes that long for MSG to get off of your tongue. Before it takes that long for you to be able to taste something in its natural state and actually enjoy it for the taste that it actually has, because it takes that long to get MSG out of your taste buds. And once it does, you're going to be surprised at how certain things taste and how well or how you feel, how the taste of really fresh food seems to you compared to what it was a month before. Because again, you're always looking for that additive food flavor that you've been eating for your entire life and didn't really know. Hey, Zach, I'm going to open up for some questions here about my talk tonight and let people have a chance to express themselves.
Awesome. Well, Roger, I got to tell you, this is probably one of the best calls I've heard. All your calls are awesome. But, I mean, as far as relaying the information and how people can relate to food, because I know you talk about it all the time, but you really made it extremely clear and how simple it is to make those choices. So what I would like to do is open it up to questions, and what you're going to need to do, I'm going to hit the queue here.
Q&A session started.
It's open up now. You'll want to hit *6, and you'll be put into the queue to answer questions. But, you know, it's funny, Roger. I've actually made a conscious decision over the last several days to literally eliminate all fast food. And it took me a little while. You know, I'd go on my spurts here and there, and I would still, you know, binge maybe. You know, I didn't want to deprive myself of everything, But the funny thing is now, working with you for so long, you know, I've taken your advice and flavored my olive oils. You know, you take olive oil, let it sit for, you know, 6 weeks or so with some thyme in it, or use rosemary or so forth. And, you know, steam the vegetables, pour some oil on it, and you actually got a meal. It is pretty amazing how your taste buds do change over time. Most people who do eat a lot of MSG, really won't like it. My mom being one of them, she's like, there's no way I'll eat this stuff. But for myself, I know how good it is in the choices that I am making just being around you. It's made a significant difference. So I can't wait for everyone to take this in their own hands and make their own conscious decisions, because it does make a major difference. Anyway, we do have a couple calls here. Again, if you have a question for Roger or a comment, please hit *6. It'll be put into the queue. And Roger, our first question is coming from area code 650, ending in 4716.
Oh, hi, Roger. I'm completely addicted to Tianqi. I love it. I've been on it for 4 months. My question is that I'm going to have elective surgery on my foot in a couple weeks, and they always send you information about stop your herbs, stop this, stop that. Do you think there's anything in that drink that could potentially be a problem? I think that...
Well, I don't, but I would follow their advice, though. Always follow their advice. If you're going to go in and have a surgery, why not pay attention? They know what they're doing when they're telling you what to avoid with their surgery. So just, you know, what they tell you, 3 days before or something?
No, it's more like a 7 to 10 days. I think they're concerned about blood clotting with some of the herbs.
Yeah, I would think it would be the opposite, actually, with that product, because there's so many things that clean up your circulation in that herb product. But follow their advice. You know, if you're going to have surgery, I would do it. 10 days seems a little drastic to me.
So
but,
maybe three?
Well, I can't tell you that, but, you know, I know. I'll be doing probably. But yeah, they're basically, I think they're worried that you might not clot properly after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just do what they tell you to do and don't worry about it. Just think of how good you're going to feel when you have your first pack after you're allowed to have it again.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Sure.
All right, Roger. Our next caller is coming in from area code 318. I'm sorry, 318, ending in 5945.
Hi, Roger. This is Debbie.
Hi.
I have a question about, I totally understand just kind of limiting your sugar to begin with. I really have been off sugar for months and eat very little. But when you do want something sweet, I know probably real sugar is healthier, but people are always asking, what is a healthier sugar substitute, like the stevia, sugar alcohols like erythritol? Where does Splenda fall in there? Can you, you know, really give some pointers on what would be a healthier choice?
Yes, I would, in my opinion, I like xylitol. I wouldn't tell anybody to use Splenda. It's not a good thing. Xylitol has been on the market for almost 50 years. There's really no complaints about it. If the average family, if they have a bowl of sugar on their table, like a lot of people do, if they took that and just filled it up with xylitol and set it out there, hardly anybody would notice the difference. It doesn't have as much body as table sugar, but if they don't know you switched it on them, they probably won't know the difference, and it does not raise your blood sugar at all. In fact, it's been proven that it cuts down on cavities. It's actually good for getting rid of certain bacterial infections. They now make it into sprays and spray up your nose with sinus infections. It's just xylitol and water is what they're doing. And it's a pretty amazing thing, and I've done experiments with that, and I hate to admit it, but I ate completely a whole half of a pie made with just xylitol. I never got a sugar rush out of the whole thing. I've dumped huge tablespoons of it, as much as I can get in a big tablespoon, in my mouth and swallowed it and never felt a single thing from it. It's pretty amazing sugar, actually. And you can buy it organically grown. And
there's a lot of different xylitols out there with different things in them. They're not made from the birch anymore. They're made from corn. Does it matter? I mean, it's just really getting a little too complex.
Well, I personally like the idea of getting it from birch, but I've been guaranteed by major producers that you cannot find any trace of corn in the one made out of corn. It's just impossible. It's so removed from it. So, and I've had both, and they both taste exactly the same. And it's, like I say, I've used it, my wife's used it in making desserts, and I love it. It's an amazing thing. The one drawback on xylitol is that when you first start eating it, some people experience some intestinal discomfort for about a week, and then it goes away. But other than that, and I've never noticed that myself, but other than that, I'm always surprised that people don't use it more, and it's probably because it costs more than sugar. That's the only reason.
And where does that rate with stevia?
Stevia is a natural sweetener that doesn't have any calories, and stevia works best with another sweetener. Stevia, and now there's two kinds of stevia, just people get confused about that. If you see the brown syrup, that means it's the herb stevia that's just been extracted about 4-to-1, right? If you see it as a clear liquid or a white powder, that's a steviacide, or what they call a rubenicide, I think it is. That's the one sweet molecule out of the herb, and that's way off the chart sweet, but it doesn't have any body to it. In other words, if you just use stevia in a pie, it just doesn't seem to have the body flavor to it. And that's why if the pie calls for 2 cups of sugar and you use a half a cup with stevia, it'll taste exactly the same if you use the right amount of stevia. But stevia by itself, it needs some body to it. And so I like stevia. I like to add it to everything, even adding it to the xylitol, because the xylitol will give a little body to it. But you have to, if you really want to get into it, you got to kind of play with it. And I like the stevia that's in the black liquid, has more of a molasses sweetness to it. So you can add that to certain cookies, especially if you're adding molasses to it anyway, and it'll have a much better flavor.
Okay, well, that helps. I think that's the one, there's one in glycerin, and there's one in alcohol. But that's helpful. Thank you.
All right. All right, Roger. Next caller is coming in from area code 708, and again, 0814.
Oh, hi, Roger. This is Nikki. What are some suggestions for, you keep talking about protein. What are some of the good choices for protein that you recommend?
Well, are you a vegetarian?
No.
Okay, well then it's pretty easy to find some protein if you're not a vegetarian. Just you can get it from eggs, any type of meat, and you wanna actually do a lean protein. I just prefer chicken and turkey if I'm telling a meat eater to eat the stuff. You can also buy protein powders. A lot of companies make a wide range of protein powders. There's a lot of science just came out recently about, as people age, they get a lot of great health benefits from pea protein, and different vegetable protein has some sort of really anti-inflammatory benefits besides the fact that it's actually just protein that your body needs. And it seems like as people age, they're not getting enough protein, or they're not eating as much of it as they did before. But you can make any of those choices for good protein in the morning.
Okay, and then if you want more...
Vegetarians, it gets a little harder. I'm vegetarian, although I do eat eggs, and I have cheese once in a while. But so I'm either having eggs, or I'll have just a protein shake, or something along that line.
How about tofu?
I don't eat tofu very often. I don't eat it very often, and I eat it probably once every 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. I tend to eat more of it when I travel because I don't have a lot of options, and I go out for Thai food, and I always get it with tofu. But I don't eat it. I eat a lot of beans, actually. I have hummus. I have black beans, red beans. There's always some sort of bean thing sitting around the house here. I like goat yogurt and goat cheese.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
All right, Roger. We got our last caller here. If anyone else has a question for Roger, you can hit *6. Next caller in the queue is area code 505, ending in 4935.
Hey, Roger, this is Buddy out in Gallup. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. My question tonight would be, I'm dealing with another gentleman that has, well, hives. What's your comments on hives?
Hives? Generally, if he's having hives, he's probably got something going on with his liver. And usually, this is just how I look at it through Chinese herbs and things, is that something is aggravating his liver, and his liver is probably hot, and energetically it's hot, so which is not too uncommon living somewhere like Gallup, New Mexico, that you can become slightly dehydrated, and then your whole system becomes a little dry and hot, and then things that are spicy or foods that are spicy and can trigger it, like chicken. If someone has a really hot liver or they're really tense a lot and angry and they eat chicken or lamb, they can get hives all over their system because it's a warm food. Same way if they eat too much hot peppers or something when they're angry and tense anyway, it can express itself. Or the liver's more susceptible to getting hives or having, which is more of an allergic type of reaction, when they're exposed to allergens and they're also dry and hot and stressed and all those other things.
Okay, because this guy, he's one of those people that could be 32 degrees in a room and he'd be sleeping with the blankets off.
Yeah, so okay, he's hot anyway. Yeah, he's hot anyway, and then he's eating something so in other words, his internal organs are hot too. He's probably very yin deficient. Chinese medicine, yin being your cooling energy, so he's probably internally has a lot of internal heat, and so then if he eats food that's also spicy and stuff, it has to express itself somewhere, and it usually comes out through the skin. So he'd be a perfect guy to eat a lot of raw food, a lot of raw salads, cucumbers, watermelon. All those things are like trying to put out a fire. Watermelon's like pouring ice water on somebody. It's a real cooling food. And so salads with a lot of cucumber would be really good for him.
Okay. Because he just got back from the specialist, that they're going to make up that he's allergic to every tree known to man, and he's allergic to horses, and he's allergic to cats, and they're going to make this special serum to actually change him where he won't be so allergic to everything. And I was kind of dumbfounded by that. I was like, why are they going to do this?
Well, that's their approach to it. It might be, maybe he is allergic to all those things, but part of that syndrome is that his liver is extremely imbalanced. You know, in Chinese medicine, when they deal with allergies, they always give you a liver formula because it's involved in histamine release. So there's an imbalance there. And they're treating it the way they do by, through their system. But he's probably got an extreme liver imbalance. So he still needs to change his diet a bit and do all these other things to cool him off.
Okay, so would it be good to give him, you were talking about lowering the body temperature with fruit juice. Would it be good to give him some advice on some raw foods, like you're saying, and some fruit juice and maybe a liver cleanse?
I wouldn't give him a lot of fruit juice, but I would tell him to eat fruit, and I would tell him to eat a lot of salads, raw salads. And if he's not someone that's really into raw food yet, salads are about the only thing you're going to get into it. He can have some apples, which are really cleansing to your liver and cooling, and he can have, any other fruit he wants, really. But I wouldn't drink fruit juice so much. But if he could eat watermelon, he could eat a lot of cucumbers. I mean, they're really cooling. They're a common liver cooling food, and as much lettuce as he wants. Any vegetable really will have a slightly cooling effect, and that's a good place to start.
Okay, how about the liver cleanse?
Yeah, that'd be fine for him.
Okay. Well, I'll pass this on to him, and if he's got any other questions, would you mind if I relayed your number to him?
It'd be better if he got on the net and asked me through Ask Roger Drummer.
Okay, AskRogerDrummer.com.
Right.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you, Roger, for your time, and Good talking to you again.
Sure. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Roger. A couple more popped up. We got our next caller coming in from area code 804, ending in 1986.
Hi, Roger. Zach, it's Donna. I have a question about blue agave. What do you think about that for sweetener?
Blue agave is, it's nice. It's out of a plant. It's a whole thing, but it still is just fructose.
Okay.
So it's not any healthier than any other fructose sweetener.
Okay.
So you still have to limit the amount you use.
Okay.
In other words, most of the,
I've really cut down on my sugar since I've been using Tianqi, which I'm addicted to as well. Another lady said that. But, does that have enough liver cleanse in it to not have to take, like, the Nikan liver support?
Well, the Nikan liver support is more of a detox formula for your liver.
Uh-huh.
Artichoke powder is a very potent detox herb. The liver support in Tianqi is more of reishi mushroom, schizandra, all these different things have a side effect of cleansing the liver, but they're also foods. They build blood. They help your body make high-quality blood and energy and all these different things. It's a whole different kind of way of looking at it. But there's a ton of liver cleansing things in Tianqi.
Okay. I could ask you a million more questions, but that'll do for now. This was a great call.
All right. Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Okay, Roger, our next call is coming in from area code 510, ending in 9559.
Hi, Roger. My name's Mary, and I used the Tianqi for a month, and then I went on the HCG diet. And so I was 6 weeks with no grains, no starches, no sugars. And I've been suffering for many years with the fibromyalgia. And pardon me?
I said yes. I was just...
What I noticed is that even though I took all these things out of my diet, which I've done, partially from time to time, being a healthcare provider myself, I didn't get any real relief from my fibromyalgia. I'm still sore.
Well, how long did you do it, though?
Well, it was
how long did you do it?
The HCG?
Right.
Yeah, without...
I find that with the gluten things, you have to be off of it for 3 months to really get huge benefits from it.
Gluten itself.
Yeah, in my opinion. You have to stay off of it for a long period of time. And you have to realize that you probably still have a lot of nutrient deficiencies due to the allergies you had to those foods for a long period of time. So there's some other things you can add, like, magnesium is really important. There's a few things you can add to your system.
I do that, Roger. I eat all organic food, as much as possible. I'm health conscious, but I haven't been able to get rid of this situation. I take all kinds of supplements, and I'm sure it holds it at bay. I'm not debilitated by it. But I am definitely affected by it, and my energy is down, and I get discouraged because I can't seem to find the answer.
Well, the thing that I usually recommend to everybody who's really got a long-term issue and they need help is to just Google the Institute of Functional Medicine. Have you ever heard of functional medicine?
Yes.
It's one of the biggest, it's a huge movement in this country to combine medicine and to look at the body as how it actually functions instead of looking at symptoms. And if you go on that website, you can find a doctor who practices that in your area. And maybe they'll have some bigger clues for you through the proper testing that might be able to find out what's triggering yours. One of the hardest things with any of these long-term issues is the frustration that comes from not being able to figure it out right away. believe me, there's probably a trigger that you need to find, and you need some real professional to do some different testing than you had before to find out what that trigger is.
Right. So it's the Institute of Functional Medicine.com or .org?
No, if you just go to Google and put in even just functional medicine, you'll come up with a website that says the Institute. It's a learning institute where they teach doctors seminars on how to look at how the body actually works and instead of just treating a symptom. And then on that website, you'll find that there's a listing of practitioners in your area where you enter your area code and all those things, and you'll be able to find somebody.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Roger. Our last caller is coming in from area code 250, ending in 4150.
Hi, Roger. This is Elizabeth.
Hi.
From Canada. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, too. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed your talk very much tonight. I'm very interested in finding out, and I'd like to try some artichoke powder or some artichoke something or other. Can you tell me where I might be able to get something like that?
Well, you can find that quite readily in a lot of places. I don't know, in Canada, the guy that called in that mentioned the artichoke is a distributor for a company called Nikan, and they have an artichoke liver product.
Oh,
but
they
you
do?
Could probably, yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Liver Cleanse. And
oh, it is.
Yeah, you can find it. You can find it easily. But artichoke powder, if you get an extract, especially, it's just a very potent detoxing herb for your liver.
Oh, okay.
Been used for that for thousands of years.
Okay, I'll try that because I already get the mushroom from Nikan.
Yeah, no, they have a very good one.
Okay, I'll call them and ask them. All right, thanks very much,
Elizabeth. Elizabeth,
yes.
Real quick, this is Zach.
Yes, sir.
I know that you said you had incredible success after several months of being on TNC with your sugar cravings. How's that going for you?
It's going great. Every once in a while, I have to have some sugar, but I think what triggers my sugar a lot, the sugar cravings a lot, is anxiety of some kind. And so since I'm aware of that, I try to drink a smoothie with bananas and an egg and some hemp milk and stuff like that. So I try to, you know, compensate for the sugar without taking the sugar.
Very good.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I was just curious how you're handling that because I know it took a while.
Yeah, I try different things because I do have that once in a while, but not very often anymore. And if I go past an ice cream place, I don't say, oh God, I gotta have an ice cream. You know, I used to do that, and then I think about it, and then I go back and get it. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm off that.
You know, if you find that when you educate yourself with Roger's talks here, that it actually makes more sense not to do that, and you find you catch yourself going, I don't want to upset my body because it's something that Roger may have mentioned.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was our question. I didn't understand what you said.
I mean, by Roger giving his educational talks, I mean, I know for me.
Oh, yeah, it helped tremendously.
Exactly, because you're more conscious of what you're putting into your body.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I always am. I always am, believe me. I eat mostly salads, vegetables, and protein. You know what they have up here for protein, which I like a lot? They have a dry cottage cheese. It's not this mushy stuff that you have in the States, and it's very interesting. And I put some flaxseed oil with it, and that's my protein breakfast after I have my TNG, of course.
Interesting.
Wow, well, that's cottage cheese is one of the highest protein foods you could ever eat.
Yeah, so I like that, and either that or I'll have a banana smoothie with the egg, and sometimes I have liver. Let's see, what do I have? Barley Max and Beet Max. I put that in it too because I think I'm having some kind of a problem with my oh, what is it? With my iron. You know, I don't like I'm on the brink of anemia or something like that. But I don't know. It's strange sometimes. So
well,
I
know Roger, he may have an answer for you.
Yeah, I just keep working with it all the time, you know, every day. Every day.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks for your support. And,
yeah.
Roger, any last words?
Thank you.
No, but I promised to come up with a topic for next week by tomorrow evening, so you don't have to wait 5 or 6 days to find out what it is.
All right, very good. Well, everyone, we appreciate your time, and we'll see you again next Monday. If you want to find out more about TNC, you heard a few people mention that tonight, Roger's latest formulation, you can go to AskRogerDrummer.com. Scroll down. There's a link on the right-hand side, picture of a multicolor packet. Or you can go to trytiancinow.com. That's TRYTIANCHINOW.com. Roger, appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing what your next topic is.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Good night, guys. Take care.